Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Monday to you. It's Monday, August the 19th. I got my man Mark Narducci back. What's up, Mark? What's good, brother?
How you doing, Keith? Getting closer to training camp, starting to get excited about it.
All right. This is going to be playing. No, just messing. So, yeah, training camp is going to start October the 1st, I believe. Yeah, October the 1st. The first game is October the 23rd. But today we're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about, in the first segment, we're going to talk about, you know, are the Sixers players who are eligible, Jonah Bolden, Ben Simmons, and Tobias Harris, missing a great chance by not playing the FIBA World Cup. So we're going to talk about in the first segment. We know that Furkan Korkmaz is going to play for his country, Turkey. Jonah Bolden and Ben Simmons both backed out of the Australian national team. And Tobias Harris did the same thing for USA. Now, Jonah Bolden backed out today, but that was because of a personal reason.
So we don't know about that. Yeah.
You know, in the second segment, we're going to talk about, you know, you sat down and you chatted with Josh Richardson on Saturday. And Josh Richardson revels at the chance to guard point guards this upcoming season. He also talked about being the smallest guy in the starting lineup at 6'6", right? So in the third segment, we're going to talk about Zaire Smith. You know, Zaire Smith is up to 212 now, and he is quietly confident about making the rotation. So, you know, we got a lot to talk about this morning. But first things first, are they missing out on a great chance of not playing the FIBA World Cup?
Well, I think, Keith, and let's start with Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is.
Okay.
I think he is, and that's not to suggest he's not working at his game. And I also know the minuses, that there's a ton of travel. You don't want to be tired entering the NBA season. But he's a guy that has to work on his shot. We all know that. What better way than in game competition? He'd be the best guy on that Australian team. It would increase his leadership skills as well. And I think you get better at basketball by playing basketball. You know, you could work in a gym and do all these drills and everything like that, and you can even play 3-on-3 or even 5-on-5. But if you're playing, say, the U.S. or you're playing Spain or some pretty good teams, I think it just develops your game more. I think Ben Simmons is missing the boat on this.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Now, you know, my thing is, I don't think Australia is going to make the NBA Finals. I mean, excuse me, the FIBA World Cup Finals. But, you know, for the teams that, the players who make it, the finals are going to be September the 15th.
Right.
Right? So, training camp is going to start October the 1st, right? Teams are going to have media days on the 31st. You know, which is basically, what is it? You know, which is basically like a Friday, or they may even do it that Monday, whatever, on the 1st, whatever. That's only going to give guys like 2 weeks. And we're talking about China. Like, you know, we're talking about China. Like, you know, first of all, I know they're going to have them. They're going to have these guys, like, you know, eating. They're going to try to fly them in food. They're going to try to do whatever they can to get them. But that's a different time zone. The food is different. You're going to be over there for a couple weeks. And I just think that is so close to the NBA season to whereas, you know, your body's going to wear down. Prime example, last year the Sixers went to China in the preseason. I didn't play a single game. But it took me forever to get back on the right schedule. And by the time the playoffs started, I was exhausted. Again, I wasn't out there practicing. I wasn't out there shooting jumpers. I wasn't doing any of that thing. So, you know, I feel like if let's just say if the World Cup was going on as we speak right now today, and it was the finals would be next week, then I would say, okay, they have a month off, they can do what they want to do. But I just think that, you know, we're talking about Ben, and it's great for him to work on his game, but I think it's just going to be too long. It's too much going on. I mean, the timing, the schedule is jacked up. Tobias Harris, for instance, and not only that, I mean, Tobias, all these guys. Now, the difference between the United States and, let's say, Turkey, where Furkan Korkmaz is, and most of these European countries, when you play for your country, it's not like you have an option. You are obligated, and it means everything to those guys. Like, you look at the Spanish national team, all the guys were there, right? When they played the U.S., I'm talking about, you know, Ricky Rubio, Marc Gasol, you know, all these guys play. It means so much to the country. So they feel like they have to. Like Dario Saric is going to play for Croatia. He has to. United States is one of those things where they have a choice if they're good enough to be in that, you know, be welcome to play or good enough to make the team. So what I mean is not, although we are patriotic, you're not as tied to your country as these people are. So with that instance is, you know, you're more geared up for the NBA season. You know, the Sixers is one of these teams. I'm just talking about them, for instance. They're a team where they're trying to make a championship push this year, and they just don't want anything to go wrong. I get it. In a perfect world, Ben Simmons would be great to work on his jumper. But I think after only having 2 weeks off, and then you're expecting them to get into this training camp, and then you got the season coming up, I just think it's a lot to ask.
Well, I think also if you're a head coach of an NBA team, Keith, you're going to be aware that you had a guy do that, and you're not going to have him go full bore. Like, do you think Brad Stevens is going to have his four guys from the Celtics that are still on the U.S. team go doing every single drill in training camp? No, he's going to take it easy. And they're going to be a litmus test, because if they come out of the season and they're dragging and all that, then you're gonna look like a genius, because it's gonna show that, hey, it was just too much. I just think these guys are getting ready to play basketball. You're playing every day against really good players, and even though this isn't a vintage U.S. team, that's still pretty good scrimmaging against those guys. A guy like Tobias, he certainly would have made the U.S. team. They only have to make one cut right now,
because everybody quit.
Yeah, with everybody dropping off. And I just think also, and the same with Simmons, to put themselves in that kind of a leadership position and everything like that, I just think it's invaluable. I think it would have helped them, but I get your point.
Now, the one thing about the Boston Celtics, you said Brad Stevens, the coach, the Boston Celtics, I kind of think is a little different. And the reason being is because you have a newcomer to the team, and the point guard, Kemba Walker. You know, you have a newcomer in the team, whereas, you know, I think that when you, let's just say if Ben Simmons was on the Australian team and Josh Richardson was Australian and a couple other players, you know, that's a timing type of thing. Now, again, they are going to be tired. They're going to be this and that. But I think if I'm the Boston Celtics, I'm looking at it like, okay, we have a new point guard. These guys don't know how to play with them. These are our primary wing players, you know, outside of Gordon Hayward. But so I can look at it that way. So I see it that way. But at the same time, you know, as I was talking to, you know, Gary Washburn, I'm like, dude, aren't they going to be tired? Because they are going to be tired. So that's just my thing. And when you listen to Jerry Colangelo give his interviews, he was saying that, like, the way the schedule is so close to the NBA season, and they're back-to-back years, you know, with the World Cup and then the Olympics, you're going to lose some people. Like, some people aren't going to be able to do it like they did before. And, you know, let's face it, man. I like, again, in the United States, you know, what we like these guys to be more patriotic and more say, like, you know, and I don't even know if it's not being patriotic. I think that when you have millions of dollars tied to stuff and you see in these contracts, you don't want to be the guy who has a bad year. You don't want to be a guy who gets injured because you're not going to get paid, you know? And that's what a lot of it has to do with.
Yeah, and I don't... The patriotic part is a whole separate thing. I don't get on people for that.
What I meant by that is, like, I'm just saying, like, Croatia and Turkey and all these countries, it's like, you know, that's just like serving in the military. Yeah. Team, you know what I mean? Like, y'all, I played on a national team, you know?
My whole thing is it would make them better basketball players. And isn't that what you strive for? And I think, it, despite all the travel... I still think that these guys, it would make them better. I think it would immensely make Ben Simmons better because he would have to even take on much more of a leadership role than he takes with the Sixers because he'd have to do more. And I think Tobias, it would have helped his game, especially because he's coming into this season expecting to do more offensively. And I think going up against those guys again every day in practice, let alone the games, I think would help them. I think they both kind of missed the boat on it. But you could be right about the fatigue factor. We'll have to see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what they do next year, if people do next year.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Keith. If I'm the U.S., and say they happen to win this, and there's no guarantee that'll happen, to me, everyone that played this year should get first crack. Now, I know that won't happen, but that's what should happen because they're the ones that dedicated themselves this year to this.
Yeah, you raise a great point. But it's kind of hard to tell Steph Curry and them, nah, we don't want you.
I understand.
But you raise a great point. But you're right, though. You're right. They deserve it.
Sorry, LeBron. We're taking Miles Plumlee instead. You know?
I know, right? Yeah. I know, right? All right, y'all. When we get right back, we're going to go to the second segment right when we get back from this commercial break. All right, so you spoke to Josh Richardson. You were like part of the small group that was down there on Saturday for the Shore Tour. It was in Wildwood. And, you know, he talked about the fans. He talked about being at 6'6", being the smallest guy on the Sixers starting lineup. But he also reveled at the chance to guard point guards this season. I mean, he's a wing, swing man. He's going to be the starting two guard, but he's probably going to draw the other team's point guards. And just talk about that.
Yeah, before I get that, can I say one thing? I said Miles Plumlee. I meant Mason Plumlee.
Mason.
Okay. Anyway, he really takes pride, and he's excited about the Sixers' defensive ability, and he should be. We saw what Ben Simmons did in the playoffs. We know about Embiid. We know Al Horford's, and he thinks he's going to fit in right there with them. And he wants to cover the Kyrie Irvings of the world, the Kemba Walkers of the world in the Eastern Conference. He wants that kind of challenge. Guys that really are tough off the dribble, he thinks that he's up for that challenge. And he feels he can guard multiple positions, probably 1 through 4, to be honest with you, Keith.
He thinks he can guard fours?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's got quickness. I know he may not have the strength of those guys, but he is a quietly confident player. You get that very much, though. And the other thing about him, Keith, he's improved his offensive game, and he's proud of that, too. His scoring average has gone up each of the first 4 years that he's been in the league. Now, whether it goes up this year, I don't know because he may not get as many chances. He averaged 16.6 last year. But he's a very, very confident player, and he feels he's just going to fit right in with a team. And like a lot of people, he thinks this team has a chance to win the NBA championship.
Okay. And in regards to, like, when we talked about point guard, did he say that, you know, guard and point guards, does he have a sense that that's what they're going to ask him to do?
I can't say either way, to be honest with you. But I'll tell you what, if it were up to me, I would. I would ask him to, because as good as Ben Simmons is as a defender, there are some pretty quick point guards in the league, and I think that Josh Richardson may be able to stay with them a little bit better. So I would expect Josh Richardson to see a lot of point guards and give them a hard time too.
Yeah, I know. Like initially when he got traded, he was a little bit he wasn't sure, and he mentioned that.
Well, he mentioned that also. Yeah, he mentioned that. When it took him back, he was really, really surprised. He says, "What in the world's this?" And then he said, he got thinking about it, you know, because he said, once you get, it's just such a shock. He started thinking about it. He started looking at this roster, and he's like, man, this is some team. And, you know, this is a guy who 2 years ago, with the Heat, they lost in 5 games to the Sixers in the first round. They've had some pretty good epic battles with each other. And I think that he's excited to be on a team that he thinks could have a real long, extended playoff stay.
Yeah, you know, here's my question about Josh. Like, I really want to see how the Sixers are going to utilize him. You know, and the reason why I'm saying that is because, you know, here's a guy who, you know, his statistics have improved each year. I mean, here's a guy that's making $10 million a year. Now, compared to what the other guys in the starting lineup are going to make not you know, he's going to make more than Ben this year. But then the following year, Ben is going to, like, look down at him and be like, hey, little man. But as far as salary. But when you factor in that all these other guys were lottery picks, you know, or top 10 picks, and you look at him and you're saying he's a second rounder. So to be a second round guy, to be a second round guy making that type of money says a lot about you. And the fact that, you know, you're a guy who each year you got better and better and better, you know, I just want to see how they're going to utilize him. I want to see how, now from what I hear, he's a great guy. You know, he's a team first type of guy. But how is that going to go when you know that in Miami last year, you were the guy. You were one of the guys they depended on. So now it's like, okay, are you going to stand in the corner in offense and be a 3-and-D guy?
Well,
or are you, you know, are you going to get some time to, like, have the ball? Like, you know, so it's, to me, that's the one of the main things that I'm looking forward to seeing.
It is, Keith, but here's the thing. Do you want to be the main guy on a team that didn't make the playoffs, which is with the Heat? The Heat didn't make the playoffs last year. Or do you want to be a major contributor but not the guy on a team that has a chance at least to get to the conference finals? We'll see.
We'll see. Because, you know, here's the thing. Everyone always talks that.
We all talk that. Right.
We all talk that. You know, but I bet you, man, and I'm not saying this about him. I'm just saying it. I bet you there are more guys in the league who would rather be the guy on a so-so squad than being a role player on a championship squad.
Well, we only have to look as far as Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler would have been the second or third option on the Sixers. He's a man in Miami now.
Yeah, but we don't know. I mean, I don't think that, as much as everybody say that was Jimmy's decision, as much as they say that, I disagree.
Well, you have the insight, so I can't go against you on that.
Yeah, I disagree on that one. Now, again, Jimmy does want to be the guy. He does want to do this and that, but you're right. You're right. That's a great prime example. And it's like, it's just one of those things, because here's the thing. Like, you know, you're looking at Josh, and I'm not just saying Josh, and I'm not singling him out, but you look at a guy like that where, you know, he has 2 or 3 years left on his contract, where the rest of these guys, I mean, Ben Simmons is making 170. You know, Al Horford is in the 30 club, and he's going to make 100 million. All these guys are going to make 20 plus million, at least 20 something million per year. You know, being the fourth option on a team, you ain't getting paid like that. I mean, you're not going to get that type of payday. You're just not. You're not. So,
you know, or the fifth option. So my thing is, you just, I'm not saying he's going to do that. I'm just saying, like, a typical player is going to want to get theirs. Now, again, they say he's a great guy. He's going to do this and that. So he'll be a team player. But, you know, I just want to see how they're going to utilize him. Because, I don't want his skill set to be wasted. You know what I mean? Because he's proven to be more than just a 3-and-D type of guy.
I understand. And I think a lot of it, Keith, is going to be how he performs from beyond the arc. He shot 35.7% last year. A little below J.J. Redick-esque level. So let's see what he does. And if he shoots well from beyond the arc, he's going to get shots. There's no question about it, because Simmons isn't going to want to take those shots. So he's going to, I think, have an opportunity to put up some offense. But I think his real value is going to be on the other side of the ball.
I agree. But we'll see. All right, y'all, when we get right back, we'll talk about Zaire Smith. All right, Mark, we're back for the third and final segment. So talk to my man Z. He lost all that weight. He gained it back and then some. What, he's up to 212 now?
He says he's up to 212. The Sixers list him, Keith, at 199.
Yeah, that's what he was.
He said the last time he had kind of weighed himself and all was at 205 before he started working out this summer. Now he's at 212. And believe me, he doesn't look like bulked up or anything like that. He said it hasn't slowed him down at all. He said he feels stronger. And I just get that he's a very serious person. And you've got to know him and you've been around him and can talk about it much better than I can. But I get that he's a very serious person. And the biggest thing that he wants to do is to get in this rotation. And as you know, that's not exactly easy on this team. And that's what he's been gearing his whole summer toward, doing that.
Yeah, you're right. It's not going to be easy. The thing is, because you look at a guy like Josh Richardson, who's a quality defender, also a guy who, you know, can shoot the ball. You know, we talked about that. So then you have Ben Simmons, but Ben, they're going to stagger a little bit. Now, the good thing about him is, well, to be honest with you, they need more of a shooter type of guy coming off the bench. You know, someone who can stick threes and knock down threes. So, you know, if Zaire Smith is similar to Josh, you know, but, you know, he's saying he's going to get in a rotation. The Sixers really want to see what they have in him. So they're going to give him every opportunity. Now, I think he can help them. But at the same time, I think that someone who can come in there and be a designated shooter is going to help him more so.
No question.
Now, but the one thing that I will say is, the more that you talk to people familiar with Z, the more that you hear his story, you know, this guy has a huge upside. Is he raw? He's extremely raw. Extremely raw. But he has a huge upside. To whereas, you know, you think about it, he's 6'3". He's really 6'2 without his sneakers, 6'3 with his sneakers on. A guy who played center in high school. A guy who was a power forward his lone year in college. Now, they listed him as a guard, but he was really the power forward. So, he's never really got to play the guard spot. Yeah. So, you look at him, and he can be either a guy who's going to struggle or a guy who, once he gets it, he can be a superstar. You know, he can. So that's the thing. It's just that, is it going to come this year? I mean, let's face it. He only played in a handful of games because of the injury. So this is kind of like his rookie year.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the Sixers are going to give him some opportunities. But at the same time, it's not like he's not going to have competition. Because you have Matisse Thybulle as well. A guy with a similar skill set, you know? So, you know, we'll see, but I mean, you know, I'm pulling for the kid. if there's someone who say, you know, I think he can do it, I think he can, but it's going to be hard for him at the same time.
No, no question. When you look at their bench, right? You look at Mike Scott. You look at James Ennis. I think they're
that's another guy.
They're the first two guys off. So you're talking your rotation's already up to seven. Now you're talking, Keith, about maybe getting the eighth, and we don't know if Brett Brown will even go to nine. Maybe he will in the regular season because you might need to do that.
So eight has to be. Who's eight? Is that Trey Burke?
Could be because you need a backup
point guard. Or the other guy, Neto. You know what I mean?
One of those two. And if it is, now you're talking the ninth spot. So now unless Zaire comes in and just wows them and plays above, say, a James Ennis. I don't expect that to happen at this stage of his career, but we'll see. But the point, and you made the good point, it's going to be hard to get off the bench on this team. I mean, their inter-squad scrimmages are going to be wars because these guys are going to want to get minutes and the guys in the second team, they're going to want to impress. It's going to be There are going to be some good players that aren't getting minutes on this team. And we talked about Furkan, too. Yeah. He's a guy that no one's... I don't want to say no one. A lot of people have just counted out. But he does bring that shooting skill. And if he comes back confident from his summer playing for Turkey, who knows if he's a candidate to be in the rotation. So... It's a pleasant problem, I guess, for Brett Brown, but I wouldn't have to pick these guys because it's going to be pretty wild.
Yeah, and do you agree that like a guy like Furkan, just because he is a shooter and you already have a James Ennis and you already have a Josh Richardson, that the thing that you're missing is someone that can stretch the floor?
No question. No. Mm-hmm. And Josh Richardson, I believe, Keith, in his mind, thinks, well, I'm going to be the guy that can stretch the floor. He's not a guy that lacks confidence. He's not a boastful guy, but I you could tell he's got a lot of confidence in his ability and his game. But I think that person who stretches the floor is yet to be determined on this team.
Okay. I agree. But look, man, I want to thank you for joining me today. Hopefully we'll have another one in a couple days, what have you. And I want to thank y'all for listening, and have a great day. Peace.